Excuse me for a moment while I get this out. Now, I promise you, this is just grape juice. This is a church. It is not anything weird. But there's a point to this, trust me. We'll get there. So, as Beth said, my name is Tyler Norris. I am a sophomore psychology and theology double major at Xavier University. I do a lot at Xavier involving the CFJ, which is our on-campus ministry. I've gone to Nicaragua, Lexington, am going to Harlan, Kentucky this following spring break for alternative breaks trips. I've done a lot in terms of retreats and small groups, and have done a lot with leadership, from being a manager at our front desk of our student center to being a Manresa leader, which is one of the 300 people who helps the 1,000 freshmen get acclimated to Xavier on the first week of campus. And I'm really glad to be here. As I was preparing for the sermon, there's a number of things I wanted to talk about and discuss with this church, because I know this is a rare opportunity, having a guest speaker, especially a youth guest speaker, other than Youth Sunday. And last time I spoke, I really only got 5 minutes, and it's an honor that I get a little bit more time. I'm not mad about it. But I think the topic that was really present and that I really wanted to discuss was our calls. One, because I had an amazing internship with the United Methodist Church, where I spent the summer in Columbus at Trinity, which is essentially the twin church to this one. And this past semester, as I've gotten into my psychology major, I've discovered a lot about what my call means. So to start off, I want to discuss what a call is and expand our horizons on what it truly is. So as we think of a call, we think of a call as our longing, our plan, our destination for our work life, what we're supposed to do to get paid for the rest of our life and how that's supposed to change the world. But if you really think about it, a call is much more than that. It can be something as small as a goal we set for ourselves just to get through the day, to getting through a struggle or a death, or something as big as choosing one path for your career for the rest of your life. And the importance of that is the importance of what I have here. Sparkling grape juice, which can also represent champagne, but for certain purposes, where it's sparkling grape juice, and a fortune cookie. And the important, so we're going to start off by figuring out what a fortune cookie is. And a fortune cookie, we all know, when you go to any Chinese restaurant, at the end of the meal, you are brought this cookie, and you open it, you eat the delicious sugar out of the cookie, and you see your fortune. And most of these fortunes are have something to do with your future, like you will inherit a large sum of money soon, or you will find love in the near future, your career will be successful within the next month. I have no idea what this was going to say. This was chosen randomly. It says, your love of gardening will take on new meaning in your life. I don't know about you, church, but I'm not a big gardener. So the problem with fortune cookies is that they never come true, or if they do, it's something very small and very menial. We expect our fortune cookies, we hope that our fortune cookies come true because they tell us these big, extravagant, grand things about how our life is going to change. But I think 11 times out of 10 in my life, I have not seen any fortune cookie come true. This represents our faith life, the way we pray, and the way we talk to God. Now, when I pray, I have had a hard time in the last semester. I've definitely not prayed as much as I should. I've only prayed in times of struggle, but I've struggled a lot this semester. So it's been a lot of prayers. And I always say, God, I know I ask this a lot, and I know it's pretty much impossible, but can you just like hit me with a road sign or like come down and just tell me exactly what to do? I mean, how great would that be if we were told exactly what we're supposed to do all the time? And I think a problem with that is we often pray like that, not knowing that we're praying like that. We often are asking God for big things, miracles, healing, a changing career path. And not that those things are bad, but the way we expect God to tell us what's going to happen is a little off. I would like anyone who, after they've prayed, they've been driving down I-75 and God's changed the color of one of the green road signs to orange and said, do this, to raise their hand. I didn't think so. I hope not. If any of you have, please talk to me after. But God's not going to do that. If God's anything, there's two things I've learned about God. He is not predictable, and he is not obvious. He's not our fortune cookie moments. As we're going throughout our faith life, and as we are discovering and changing who we are, we expect that these fortune cookie moments are going to define who we are and what we become. But really, life is more like sparkling grape juice moments. Now, what's the difference between sparkling grape juice and regular grape juice? Well, for one, as I learned by doing a little bit of self-research and math, sparkling grape juice is 3 times as more expensive by the ounce than grape juice. True fact. But sparkling grape juice isn't usually consumed alone, right? Anyone can go into their fridge, grab a glass of grape juice, drink it when they're sick, or just as a drink in the morning, but very rarely do people just go and pull out a sparkling bottle of grape juice just to drink it by themselves. Usually, we buy these for special occasions, like New Year's Eve, maybe a Valentine's Day dinner, maybe your birthday. And the important part of that is not the extravagance of the event, but the reason why we get the bottle. We get it because we want to have a good night with those we love and those we care about. I mean, if you compare it to wine and champagne, champagne's definitely a better New Year's Eve present than a bottle of regular, like, $5 gas station wine. Or so I've heard. Let's be clear about that. Why can't our life be more like these champagne and sparkling grape juice moments, where not we only do it on special occasions, but it involves our family, our loved ones, and our friends? In 8th grade, at the age of 13, I heard a call in my heart and in my mind that I was supposed to do something to change the world in the most basic sense. I interpreted it at the time as to be a pastor, because I figured if I couldn't be a cop, because I wasn't interested in putting my life on the line every day in that way, why not be a pastor? And so at that point, my life was pretty much determined for me, because that's 100% of what I believed I was supposed to be. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. So I went to an all-boys private Catholic Jesuit high school to get a theological basis for my education. And throughout the 4 years of discovering the beliefs of the Catholic Church, studying Christology, morals, and world religions, one thing I learned is that I loved psychology. I loved the way people thought about themselves, thought about others, and interacted with each other. And I knew I could go to school for theology anywhere, and I could add theology onto my life at any point. So I figured, you know, why not try this psychology thing out at first, and I have theology to fall back on. Well, little did I know how much I would love psychology. In the past year and a half, I have discovered that there is not a major in the world, there is not another topic in the world that I love more than psychology. Which isn't to put theology down, but that's who I am, and that's who I've been raised to be. But the problem with that is it's giving me conflict. Conflict so much that I've considered dropping my theology major, considered just ignoring my call to ministry altogether, for a number of different reasons. But what I've learned from that, and what I've discovered, especially in the past 2 months, is that I can still be in ministry, even if I'm not doing ministry inside a church building. Because we already know that the people are the church. And so no matter where I do ministry, I'm doing ministry to the church because everyone is God's child. But what I've discovered is a call to ministry doesn't mean that you have to be working within the church to better the church itself. Take a doctor, for example. If a doctor only gets his medical license and his medical degree to heal himself when he's sick or hurt, what good is he? He's not helping anyone. He's not making anyone's life better. I like to think of the church the same way. The church is this amazing body and group of people that has so much love and experience to offer, but I think a lot of times we only offer it to ourselves. And that doesn't mean just to yourself, but to the people who are in congregation with you. Now, that's okay. That's okay because we all go through struggles and we all need that healing. That's what the church is here for, is to help us and to heal us. But how can we change the world if we're only focusing on ourselves? I'm not calling the church selfish, and I'm not calling the church, let's just stick with that. I'm not calling the church selfish. What I'm saying is we often lose sight of our purpose on this world. Our purpose is not to be a fortune cookie to others, to show God in these big, extravagant, life-changing ways. My life hasn't even had a lot of those, but I mean the ones it technically has, I guess, based on your definition of a fortune cookie moment, even those haven't been the most impactful moments of my life. The most impactful moments have been those where I've been surrounded by friends and by family or by someone who's trying to help me. In the movie Deadpool, at the very end, Deadpool is facing off against his mortal enemy, gets one over on him, and has him pinned to the ground and is deciding whether or not to kill him. And one of the offshoot X-Men, the big metal guy, comes up and says, "Wade, it only takes 4 or 5 moments. And Deadpool turns around and says, "What?" And he says, "It only takes 4 or 5 moments. That's all it takes to be a hero. We don't wake up a hero. We don't brush our teeth a hero. We don't go to work a hero. We are offered these 4 or 5 moments with decisions that make us heroes, make us who we truly are." Now, switching out hero with our call, with the church, with the world, it only takes 4 or 5 moments to be Christ-like to someone else. You don't have to be 24/7 monitoring them and having a halo of the halo and hug and love of Jesus around them, but it's those 4 or 5 moments when they're really looking for a sign or a definition that makes the difference. And these 4 or 5 moments aren't fortune cookie moments. They're not going to hit us like a road sign on I-75. They're going to be small, possibly even unrememberable moments where we are surrounded by our friends or we are filled with the love that is inside us. And that is how we discover our call. Because you see, with me, my call could be so many different things. Besides psychology and theology, there's a number of different things that I love and I could practice and become good at that I could change the world with, whether that's music or public speaking, leadership. And not to say that those can't go hand in hand with one another, but there's a reason psychology and theology are in my life. It's because I chose them. And that is how we change the world, is by choosing. Now, God is powerful, and God is loving, and God is a creator. But at the end of the day, the world doesn't change unless we make the decision to change it. And if we expect our call in our lives instead of predict it, because you see, a fortune cookie predicts our future, and unless there's an Isaiah in this building, I don't see any predictors that are going to tell us exactly what our future is going to be. But if we expect it, if we expect we're going to go down a certain path or change a certain group of people or change the world in a certain way, then our attitude changes. And if our attitude changes, as psychology teaches us, our behavior changes. And if our behavior changes, the world changes. Life is not a fortune cookie. There are four or five moments where we'll be with friends and family and our life is going to change. And we may never remember those moments. But the gift is that if we expect those moments to happen, our attitude about those moments is going to be better. And then our behavior is going to be even more positive and more impactful. And the world is going to be ever more changed by it. So, toast to us, toast to a new year, and toast to a better world. Amen.